Now, this is Fred's Reel, the very first one. And this is Channel One Right. And this is Tuesday, the 6th of May, 1969, at the store on my rounds, except that's as far as I got. The other day, Fred had a remarkable little recollection, a series of recollections. He said he just hadn't seen this place all since the old days, until Freddie had his, got put his melons over here this year. He had said not long ago that was fine pasture, what I call the West Bank of the little prairie I call my pond. That's all wild grass, sort of water grass, and it's short, and the cattle like it. I said he hadn't been over here since Willie Welch. And he didn't know Willie Welch except as a child. Mr. Welch died in 1925. And that gave him this cue. He could see him umpiring a baseball game at McIntosh. He and this man, Miller, who taught school at Fairfield, were the umpires. One of them called the man safe on third, and the other called him out. Miller walked over there where he was, and they called each other names, Fred said. He knew what they said, too. Said Mr. Miller walked with a crutch and with a cane. And he leaned back on that crutch and whacked Willie Welch with that cane, knocked him clear down, clean down, with a knot on his head as big as his fist about. Somebody ran out and put iodine on the bump and made it look that much bigger as red. The deputy took Mr. Miller off, hollering that he wait a minute, let him get that hat. It was a Stetson and cost $25. And Freddie was just come in and was sitting back by the stove, listening to it all, smiling, saying what a fine recollection it was himself. Well, the second one is never impromptu, but we covered the same ground. It's just more systematic.
He was like, sort of built like Jimmy.
Just exactly, almost.
Yeah.
Lord, like.
Yeah. He had a little pawn.
Pinkney, he's tall. Mother was a fairly tall woman. She was extremely tall.
Oh, I see.
Fairly tall. She was a real nice looking woman.
But you don't remember him as a, you just remember him as a child.
What year did you say he died?
25.
Well, I would have been about 14 years old.
Yeah.
Well, I would go over there and play with Pinkney and James, and I remember him pretty well, and he was around the store here. Yeah? He was the deputy sheriff down here. He was around here quite a bit. He always wears a gun. Always had his gun in his hip pocket in the holster. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then I remember during World War One that they had a company of home guards in Micanopy. And he was, I don't know whether he was officer, I remember going over there and watching them drill one afternoon, and he wasn't in the ranks, he was out in front. I guess he was an officer giving the commands.
Yeah.
Now, he went to this old East Florida seminary up there with my uncle.
Oh, did he?
But he never did graduate. He went there, I don't know, several years.
Well, was he living over here at that
no,
time?
No, he was living,
when he was,
I guess he was too. I guess they. Now you know that's way before my time. I don't even remember.
I mean, World War One when you saw him.
Oh yeah, he was living over there then.
Well, now they lived there longer than I thought then. They come early and I.
Well, I think he was. Now I'm not going to be sure about that, but that would have been about 1917 or 18.
Yeah.
When he was going over there.
Yeah. And
I remember going over there with him and watching him perform over there.
Yeah.
He had on his uniform and
oh really?
Khaki uniform.
Yeah. And then the morning he went off on the train, he picked your daddy up.
Rolled him down in the store. They had kind of been on outs. Well, he fell out with my father over a school election. You know, if I got him, let me see.
Well, I went in the bed with that cold and had a good thing to clean him out with.
You take, are they pretty good?
Yes, sir. They'll clean you out if you stick with them.
Nature's remedy.
How long you got to stick with them?
About a couple of doses. They'll clean you out. One dose to clean you out. I don't want any nerve in that thing.
Well, I didn't know they were that strong.
If I like black tray.
Well, you keep some on hand?
I tried, but it took up from me. I had to cut it on Adam yesterday, and I'm feeling better today. The boys laying around there with that cold, and I don't give them. Some of them just clean them up.
Oh, you going to give it to the boys? Yeah. You try to keep it around, but they...
It's just took up, so I can't keep them around.
Can't keep it. Well, you can borrow some from Miss Daisy.
No, I don't got the last box. Daisy borrowed my last one. That's where I run now.
Oh.
So Adam, you got a box from him yesterday morning. I got it on his.
How'd he know?
So he got me cleaned out too.
They had a little one-room schoolhouse up here. I went to it. Miss Johnson taught up there for years. Mrs. Bydell was the first teacher I ever went to up there. Hester, she was a Hester then, equal age to Dola. And they had an election here. And it was a freeholders election. You know, when they voted in that thing, well, you voted for a bond issue, really, and consolidation too. Well, they all sided up one side in, and the others took the other side, and there was some pretty much fireworks going on in for
a while. Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know tonight was going to be done. I see I got some of Martin laid on, but I don't want it. I'll put it back. You
got love,
Laura?
They, well, he was all fired up over the school consolidation. He was a deputy over at the polls. There was some corruption that went on over there that, there was some that they allowed to vote in there that wasn't eligible to vote, that voted for the consolidation, and there was some that were eligible to vote that they wouldn't let vote.
Is that right?
This old nigga that she was talking to up there told me.
Yeah.
Him and his father both were eligible to vote in that election because they were both property owners.
Yeah.
But before the election, he went up and told them, they tell me he went up and warned them if they came down and something bad had happened to them. Put the Ku Klux after them or something like that right back in the day, you know, when they had Ku Klux was pretty strong.
Oh.
Deputy too, so that, of course they didn't show up.
Yeah.
Well, the vote was awful close, you know. I don't think it was two votes difference.
Yeah.
My father, he didn't like the way they did about that. He was in favor of keeping the school in him. Wasn't but eighth grade up there. As soon as they finished the eighth grade, they went to either McIntosh or Macanova.
Yeah.
Then the way they won out, he was greatly offended at it. He came over here and after he had the election over there, told my father he wanted to take his wife's name off of the church roll up there. Daddy was still up there in the Methodist church.
Yeah.
Took him to Sunday school. He told him he didn't have anything to do with taking the name off up there, that she'd have to do what she wanted to herself if she couldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
Then he was a terrific Christian, Carmelite, I guess you'd call him.
Yeah.
They, you know, they had religious issues were pretty much back in those days,
yeah,
in small communities.
Yeah. They argued.
Oh, yeah, they'd have had Sunday school up there. I've been down there at Sunday school. They had it in the afternoon. Sometimes they'd almost break up the Sunday school. They're arguing up there in the men's Sunday school class. Just shouting almost.
Is that right? Well, no, I didn't realize that, Fred. I don't believe I'd run into that.
Nowadays, they don't get out and cross a lot against each other like they used to.
No. That ecumenical thing, whatever you call it. They all go together now.
They had a... I've heard my mother speak quite a... That was an interdenominational church up here, I think, to start with. Anyway, they let one of these Carmelite preachers come up and preach in it one night.
Yeah.
Anybody can preach there, right? One or two was invited there. Anyway, he came up there and he...
But then he preached against the...
Methodist, boy, he told them they were hell-bound unless
yeah,
they got in a Christian church. And that, of course, infuriated some of them, and some of them changed their... He converted some of them over to the church in McIntosh.
But now, Willie Welsh, friend, when you were just a child, you remember that ball game down there?
Oh, I really do. Sounds like distinctly in my mind.
Now, say that again like you did the other day.
About the umpire's having
yes,
a fight?
Yes, yes. He is out behind the pitcher.
The umpires got out behind the pitchers back in those days.
Yeah.
Well, they had two umpires. One stood behind the pitcher and called the balls and strikes. And the other one umpired the bases. Now, this old man Miller was umpiring the balls and strikes.
Uh-huh.
He was calling in.
Uh-huh.
Well, Welsh was umpiring the bases.
Yeah.
And Miller, that was Fairfield playing McIntosh.
Yeah.
But Miller had a son playing on the Fairfield ball team.
Oh.
And there was a boy from Micanopy, James Odell, was playing third base. The score was pretty close and all, and this Miller boy was on second base. Well, he went from second to third, and there was, I forgot now whether there was a hit ball down to third base or whether they threw the ball over to third base. But anyway, Odell caught the ball, and when that boy slid, he slid right through his arm. Well, when Odell came up, he had the ball in his hand. Well, old man Miller claimed he dropped the ball, and Welch claimed that he held on to the ball. Welch called him out, and Miller called him safe. They met out there. Miller walked. Welch walked up to the pitcher's box where Miller was, and one word brought on another. And I don't know. I think Welch. I believe Miller called Welch a liar, and Welch cursed him. When he did that, old man, he had a crutch on one arm and a walking stick in his hand, the other hand.
Yeah.
Well, he crooked that stick. You know how walking sticks like that?
Yeah.
Well, he turned it around where the straight side would be just right, and he came around and he walked him right across that. And he laid him on the ground as good as anything.
I guess so, it would.
He put a knot on his head and almost as big as my fist. Yeah. Larry McCauley, he was the deputy sheriff down there. He came running out there. Promptly arrested Miller, rushing him off the ground. And the old man dropped his hat. And he was telling him to wait, that was a $25 Stetson hat. He wanted his hat.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Brown came out with a bottle of iodine and painted the place on his head where he hit him.
Yeah.
Just course that made it stand out a little bit more, a big red knot right on the side.
Be out in the yard looking after my Easter lilies. I have some that are just about ready to. Well, the two or three that are open.
Uh-huh.
I've enjoyed my pansies. That's what I've enjoyed this thing. I never had any before.
Oh, no?
I pick them every morning.
Oh, really?
I've had them for the longest.
Well, now, Miller had a sort of reputation.
Yeah, he was pretty hot-tempered and what I heard about, I didn't know him very well myself. He was, pretty rough on his, some of his pupils over there in the school that he, this one boy over there that was fatherless, he come from the wrong side of the track, a brother-in-law that, he was going to school over at the same time. He said that old man had just beat that boy unmercifully just because he could. Just didn't like him.
Yeah. Oh, really? And he taught at Fairfield?
They had a school right there. He was German. Baseball back in those days was something around this part of the country, though. Summertime. Baseball, spring, summertime. The whole works would get enthused over baseball game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much as it's to football now.
Yeah, in a different way, because this is all in the neighborhood.
That's right. Just homeboys play.
Homeboys. You know,
I played ball when I went to school at noon, you know, in recess. You got to have a ball game. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you remember all them fellas you threw the ball with?
Oh, yeah. I never will forget. I could throw a pretty good curveball when I was a kid. Oh, I'd sent off and got a little old book from Miss Christy Madison about how he curveballs he threw and all. I showed you how to throw a curveball and all. Well, I had an old ball there and I'd practice just throwing a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
Ought to have been practicing on how to get some control on it instead of making it break. And, I got to where I could break that thing a yard through.
Yeah.
I was going to school down at McIntosh. The old schoolhouse was over there, down from the Christian church, right there on the corner. Got kind of ball game out there one day at dinner. And the principal, his name was Masterson. He came there from Nebraska. He was a real smart man, one of the best teachers I ever went to. He left McIntosh and went to Dunedin, and from Dunedin he was principal of Ocala High School within about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came out there and he was standing behind the pitcher, up behind the balls and strikes. Well, there's Ernest Smith down here. You know him, don't you? Used to work for Buddy Huff. He lives out of Shiloh. He was his brother Everett.
I don't think I ever ran across him. Isn't that curious?
Old fella down there. He got up to the bat. And I'd throw that ball at him and it'd break across the plate. He'd duck back from it. I got two strikes on him, and they'll forget what that old principal told me. Told me, said, "Now, if you want to get him out, throw him another curve." Well, I did, and when I did, he stuck his head right across the plate, and the ball hit him right on top of the head. Well, he started out after me with the baseball bat, and I wasn't there when he came to the baseball bat. I'd left. So the principal caught him in the... like broke us up from playing ball out there anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't intentionally, well, he didn't hit him. He just stuck his head out there in front of the ball. He thought the ball was coming at him, and when it did, it curved, he stuck his head right in the well. Bang, right on top of the head.
He just got his signals wrong, didn't he?
That's right. I know, we'll forget him coming out there with that baseball bat, and when he did, I was running bases then. Let nobody hit me with a baseball bat.
Let him cool off a while.
Right.
Steve!
Well, a man's entitled to fly off every now and then, you know, as long as the other fellow can...
Well, he flew off and I flew off, too.
Oh, shoot.
They could gamble on the games down at McIntosh a whole lot. McIntosh always been... it used to be a real... town to bet on anything.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Card playing. Oh, yeah. Fellas down there used to sometimes come out there and bet the game wouldn't even start on time. Everything else to bet on.
Hey, is that right?
Right. Old Roland Thomas, you know him, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. He'd tell you right now he'd rather play a game of poker than most anything he knows, but he won't. He quit. His wife won't let him, so he got broke him up from that.
Yeah. Is that right? Is that right?
Postmaster down there, Wallace Waters, he used to bet on the ball games, and old man Ed Rush, you've heard of him?
Knew Wallace.
He was a fan, and he bet on them right now. Brother Rob went over there to Williston. One afternoon, him and Frank McCray. Frank McCray caught and he pitched. And those fellas over there around Williston, they liked to gamble quite a bit too, and they'd made a good cucumber crop. That used to be a real cucumber section back over there. You know, there's a lot of phosphate mines back over there around Williston. A lot of phosphate in that land over there.
Yeah.
Like the same way over around Newberry.
Yeah.
Boy, they could make the cucumbers over there. Well, they made a hit on them over there. Made a good crop and got a good market. Old man Ed Rush, I think he bet $300 on that ball game out there. Quite a bit of money back in those days.
Oh, yes.
Rob pitched the game, pitched a real good ball game, and they won. McIntosh won. And they said old man Ed come out there and picked him up, put him on his shoulder, and walked off the field with him after the game.
Is that right?
He was a character.
Ed Rush. Old man Ed Rush.
You know now, Dr. Gordon? Preacher Gordon?
Yeah.
Sometimes I asked him about Ed Rush. He used to come down and go fox hunting with him.
Oh, did he? Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to fox hunt out there a lot. Dr. Gordon and Ed Rush and Wick Carter out there, and there's a fellow named Williams from Jacksonville.
Carter? He died since I've been here, didn't he?
That was Angus.
That was Angus.
That was Wirt's brother.
Oh, I see.
Wirt lives over at Fairfield.
He's still there?
Angus never did fox hunt like Wirt. Wirt's got some dogs out there. He fox hunts yet, and he's getting real old. Yeah, they really love to go out there and run a fox hunt.
Where's Wirt live?
He lives out of the west of Fairfield.
Oh, I see. And he still hunts his dog. Got dogs still hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
John McCray, he used to love fox hunting.
Does he still?
No, he got rid of all his dogs several years ago. He and this fellow Keith down there.
Yeah.
Mac Weaver.
Yeah.
You know Mac.
Yeah.
Mac still got dogs.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason in the world if they get out there and run a fox with those dogs is to listen to the dogs run.
Yeah.
They don't care about catching the fox.
Oh,
they don't want to catch the fox.
Yeah.
They want to leave him there to run him again.
Yeah. 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 And they can tell what the dogs is doing all the time.
Oh, yeah. They can tell which dog is which.
Yeah. Yeah. That takes a good ear. Mac came over. Mac,
he used to hunt on horseback. Fox on horseback.
Oh.
And he came down here from South Carolina. Well, down here in Florida, your woods are pretty rough to try to do much horseback hunting on.
Yeah.
Palmettos and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But up in South Carolina, I think they were pretty open up there, and that's the way they hunted up there most of the time, fox hunting.
Yeah.
Of course, they do that in England, I guess, quite a bit. All that fox chases over there have done the horses.
Yeah. And he come from Rush, old man Rush come from South Carolina.
He came from the same place up there that my grandmother's people came from. In fact, he told me he used to fox hunt with my grandmother's brother. His name was Crespo, and Mr. Rush called him Crispo.
He'd
say Crispo,
he'd
say Crispo.
Yeah. Now, Ed Rush,
you not listening? How people just become addicted to some sport like that, or something like that. I never could see a whole lot of it. I didn't mind going out on a nice night and sitting down listening to the dogs run. It sounds pretty good, but I never could just want to keep a bunch of dogs just get out and run fox with them.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. That's the way I'd look at it, you know. I'd have the wrong view of it. How are you doing, Frank?
What is finished, Dan? I think we've got a prayer for you.
Don't find nothing else wrong with
it.
Don't find anything else wrong with it.
Well, I didn't want to hear it, but I need to recheck those front wheels on it. We need to get that body on there and all them back lights and all gotta be fixed on it anyway. And I'll give that anyway and get the body on it. Gotta go up and get the mower caught. What's on it?
I'm got a tailor thorn up there the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. At least they moved it with the truck. I had to pull him out up yonder at Boardman, and then when he got up there, he couldn't get in with that truck. I had got old tot up there. Moved it in with it. Got it all the way back in the rain.
Golly. You're making a big job out of a little job.
Well, he gave the guy $50 and moved to pay him. The guy agreed to move for $50. Well, I hadn't gone that far. Well, I charged him $18. And the other guy still came out all right.
What
was
you trying to move for out here?
There ain't no big house, sir.
Who what?
Yeah, I was calling from Boulder Cemetery, man. You don't know where Jack Williams goes.
You know, when it comes time to move them things, it'd be nice to have a little smaller one. Oh, they're huge, aren't they?
No, no. That's how I let them have my drop out like 6 on here that time,
though.
Yeah. Well, they got all of them, all they got the pitching right in front. Stone, the iron box.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the way right up the front.
Where
you done quit wearing your glasses? Huh?
You done quit wearing your glasses?
I don't do wear them I'm working, but I got to see them.
I never seen you wearing glasses.
I wear them work with
them. I mean, in a while, it made a difference in that car, man.
I knew it
had. Starts kind of hard, though.
I may need a new car on that, huh?
I don't know that old battery. I'm going to have that thing checked before I do anything else.
Well, the best way to check it, if it's an old battery, just put it on it.
Yeah, I better see a robot, but I got it from, so I'll get something back on it.
You won't get nothing back on it.
I'll be done if I won't.
If they run the sale on batteries, your adjustment will make it cost you more than what the sale price is.
Oh, really?
I went up there one time and I left. He had a 36-month battery. I think he paid. I'm getting that thing figured out around $22 or $23 for that battery. They had that battery on sale, $17.50. He wanted adjustment. Well, they had to adjust that thing at the price he paid for. They wouldn't adjust it at that sale price. And he figured out it cost him $19 and something. He couldn't get it through his damn head. The best thing for him to do is go ahead and buy that battery on sale while they had it on sale.
Yeah.
I'll have to die.
If you go up and buy a tire and pay $35 for it, something comes up, you gotta have a jump, they're gonna measure the treadway on that tire. When you get up there and they got that tire on sale, quite often it'd be cheaper just to buy it and forget about that adjustment deal.
Yeah.
I bought one from that Farm Bureau, had it going out about 3 weeks, run a piece of glass to it and carried down there to M&M, but said he couldn't patch it, carried back to the Farm Bureau. Carried the thing back up there and they gave me a brand new and didn't charge me nothing except they charged me for mounting it and balancing my wheel. That's all they charged.
On your tractor?
On my car.
On your car? You mean you buy tires from the Farm Bureau for your car?
Yes, sir. You buy them cheaper than you will anywhere else. You sure will. Okay. Go around to March Sunoco Station. You belong to the Farm Bureau?
No. Maybe I better join. See if I can join.
What kind of tire is that?
Dayton.
Their farm tires, the brand name Safety Mark.
I don't believe you get much headway on a Firestone tire, but I'm doggone, I don't believe that's as good a carcass as you can get.
They have good tractor tires. Good, you're as far as tractor tires.
Only one thing, you can get a hold of a U.S. Rollium. Some of the new cars will come out and run them down there, and we just ain't balanced.
Sears ain't balanced, Steve.
What?
Sears. That tire's bad about
the Fred had a set on that 59 Chevrolet he had. Went up there to Latimer so much with him. Last time he went up there to Latimer, told him, he said, I just had to give up on it. We went back to another Sears and boy, they gave me money back. And then got a set of five.
Oh, they give his money back because the tires wouldn't balance.
Well, a lot of them even run them on that machine and chew them up, you know, round them up.
I never traded with Latimer. I think I might try sometime to trade with him.
He's a good fella. He's reliable.
I've been going around there to Town Tire. But you know, they have expanded so much. They seem like they don't care much whether you trade or not now. You know.
Oh, Mark's got the biggest stock of tires. Ain't nobody up there. That's on account of that Farm Bureau deal, though. He's got that whole Sears Roebuck warehouse down there, old Sears Roebuck.
Yeah.
That thing's all full of Farm Bureau tires.
Oh, it is.
It's a
where is mine?
Well, he's the one used to have all them stuffings in there in the store.
What? I never bought anything from him until I got into Farm Bureau. That old Farmers Mutual Exchange got a good tire.
What's this co-op? Is that the same deal?
That's the FMA?
Well, what about this here PCA outfit?
I don't know about that.
They run a deal like that, too.
You mean CPA, Cotton Producers Association?
No, that's their Production Coatings Association up there. My man Johnson used to be the president of it.
I didn't know they was in the tire business.
I see where they advertise there that they buy in volume and
well, that's not much tape, but it's the first time I ever got old Jarhead. First time Jarhead has nodded at me since this fella lived up here, and he got all crossed up with me. And I used to send him word by his wife what a fine fella I thought he was and a great mechanic. But, you see, Freddie and Fred, they lean towards me now. And he's making a little light ton truck for him, fixing it up for him. And that's curious. When a man hand-drying with your friends, he's inclined to be friendly himself. His voice is not very strong. Fred told him he's all humped over. He said that was occupational hazard. He stayed humped over most of the time. Fred asked him where his glasses was. He said he didn't wear them unless he worked, unless he was working. I told him I didn't knew he wore glasses. Oh, he has lore. He does have lore. he didn't get into any of it today. What I'll do is just concentrate on getting on the good side. Oh, yes, they had it back and forth. He told Fred, oh, yes, if you put in that compressor, I didn't tape that. Fred's got a compressor he go put in, so he'll have air for people's tires to go along with his gasoline. He said he wanted the air for his own tires. Jawhead said he'd have to disconnect it at night. He'd have to have those rubber hose and take them off, or else Johnny Sims would visit him again. Fred said he didn't think Johnny Sims had ever bothered him. Didn't look like now is that other fella, one of the Gill boys, a colored boy. He's in Rayford now. He also broke in at Beatty's. So, there you are. Yes, Miss Johnson. Oh, I could. Her voice was right weak. She said she's just waiting for her Easter lilies to bloom. And she had taken great pleasure in her petunias, pansies, I mean, and she cut them every morning. Esther's mother came in to get the mail. She said, that's just Richard and brother's mail. She didn't want that. And we swapped notes on our health. Buddy was right rich about his nature's remedy. Those little boys is up there, lying up there with colds, and he's going to work it out of them with nature's remedy. I think that's what he come over there to get it for. And Fred was out. But he didn't seem to be put out. He just expected they borrowed from each other until nobody had any left. The roar all through that tape is that dad burned motor under the refrigerated counter. It just runs all the time. Fred won't stand up that close to it. If he'd gone out on the porch, wouldn't be bothered. This is the end of the visit with Fred at the store, and then Jarhead and the other visitors, and this is around 4:50, Channel 1 Right, on Fred's Reel 1. This is Channel 1 Right. This is Tuesday the 6th of May, 1969. There's a visit at Fred at the store, mostly about the ball game that he remembered that Willie Welch umpired. And this is Wednesday the 13th of August, 69. Wednesday the 13th of August, 69. This is Channel 1 Right, 4:55. There's some to come between this and the other just before. I just have this on the reel yesterday, Ms. Guthrie's reel. We went over there, and she talked about Louise Graham, and a great deal of light on Louise Graham. And we came back, all circled around, nothing else to do. We came back by the store and tried that, and we didn't get much. Fred, we talked to him through the grill. He was sitting behind the post office boxes, and he came on out, and he stopped at the door, and he got to talking about all the notices that he had to put up for the post office department, and that's where the taxpayer's money goes. He even sent him the FBI notices.
Maybe you can't afford college or vocational school. Peace Corps test. Fair housing, what it means to you. A nigga on every corner, that's what it means to me.
Now that's all the post office part.
That's sent to me, the post office. Yes. For 60 cents, you can get a federal publication on helpful tax deductions. That's what everybody would like to find out, too.
Suggested by the federal government, that's all right.
I had one here, something about ships. Some rigging the world about to West Marine or something.
You can put them all out here.
They'll make them out of good material. Come a good rain or wind, and you got a mess.
Oh. Oh.
Nobody ever made a lasting sign but R.J. Reynolds. They made that out of milk. PepsiCo or somebody like that. Cocoa.
Yeah. Well, now that's the last one there, but it's faded, Fred.
Which one is that?
Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, that was the blackboard for a while.
get this to replace that one.
Use Blackbird for him.
Oh, I used to put out a bunch of specials on that.
Oh, really?
Secondhand chewing gum at half price. Secondhand cigars, that kind of thing.
Your,
slightly used cigars.
Your clover growing?
Yeah. Get enough rain on it. Getting wet down in the bottom, ain't it?
Not drying up or by any means. As I remember, Alice, clover don't need much moisture.
It needs enough to come along, because we had some year before last up there on that old place of Hogan across that bridge, and that stuff just dried up. It just, that's forest land up there. That land don't even grow indigo. If it gets too cold to grow indigo, it's growing something.
Yeah.
Get me a mask.
I got
one.
Yeah.
Game bird stamps, sell
yeah.
Bonds,
yeah.
Saving stamps. They cut out this, where you used to put deposit money in the post office.
Postal savings.
I used to use that all the time. I don't remember now just why I did, but I did.
They didn't pay any interest in the thing, did they?
Yes.
They did. I didn't know what they did. No, I never
some. Did. Some. It's kind of like those bonds, you savings bonds you bought during the war. You paid $18 and got $20 back or something like that. I could be wrong, Fred, but that's my recollection. No, it was a savings. There was interest on it, you know, 1%.
FBI.
Yeah. Yeah. They used the post office, too.
Oh, yeah.
Up there,
one picture.
Well,
delivery and rural routes and all.
Always go to the post office and read the signs.
Well, you contact your postmasters used to act as contacts for your congressman.
Sure.
So, to keep in touch with the postmaster. You had anything you want to take up with your congressman or something like that? You
know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 You could. Who's not to help you do it?
The two main things most people are fussing about now is inflation and high taxes.
Yeah. That, you get something like that, you see, and then that pushes out everything else.
And the war in Vietnam.
Yes. So the North Florida, Central Florida telephone company can just charge anything you want to. Yeah. Got so much else to complain about, you never get...
People are really getting tired of it, though. It's the last issue of life, they got a pretty good article in there on taxes, anyway.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that you pay more for this old party line out here than you do a private line in town.
I get stuck worse than you do. You just pay a rate, regular residence rate at your house, don't you?
$6.50, though.
Well, mine's $10 and something in this store here, and I got $8 on the darn line. I don't get any more service than the other $8, yet they're paying $6 and something, and I'm paying $10 and something.
And you still on
commercial rate. If you got a phone in a business, current in a electric current, you stick on any one. Why that is, I don't know.
I don't either. I don't.
No, I don't. There's somebody calling me a lot of times. I don't even call too much myself. Though.
They didn't call me a fight whether they got the darn mail down here or not.
Oh, do they?
Now, you can't do that at a regular post office.
No, no. I don't know. I could tell them.
Extra service. I stopped that part myself.
When I started getting calls, it was about time these relief checks come in. The welfare checks.
Yeah.
Okay, is my check there? Is the checks come in yet?
Yes, sir. Susanna. Can't walk.
She's pretty better off in shape.
I was over to the preaching the other night. I was looking for the minister, Jennings, and they were going to call on Susanna after preaching. Uriah and Reverend Williams and Lloyd and one drop. They gonna call on Susanna and Woodard or somebody.
Walker Woodard. Walker had to do the hospital this morning, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Bladder blockage. Got a tube in it. They gonna call on operation. Prostrate.
Yeah.
Time be coming up now.
Oh, it shouldn't. Why?
Well, it's rained, don't you?
We haven't had much rain.
I doubt if you get a terrific run into that pond anyway, do you?
Well, after it rains a while and the ground gets wet.
The drainage from your field has about all. You don't have any stream coming in there, though, do you?
No.
That must be springs that keep it up here, right?
Well, you've got a considerable drainage there. See, it's right in a bowl.
I know it.
It drains, golly.
There was an old sink or pond that connected onto that thing at once, wasn't it, Deb, right? Kind of on the west side of your house? Right down there below where the old barn used to stand.
Yeah.
Ain't there kind of a sinkhole back in there?
I wouldn't call it a sinkhole, just sort of, they all call it the pond. It was filled up.
It fills up with water too?
No. Marshy, oh, it's a little marshy. That's curious. That's way up and on another level from the swamp you're talking about. And then that Fish Prairie back there is on still another level.
I've seen Fish Prairie almost dry with the exception of those
pools.
Sinkholes out there, that's what we used to call them.
Yeah, well.
Some of them are real deep, too.
Yeah.
There's one over there on that Thrasher place, I've never seen it even go down in.
Yeah.
It stays the same level all the time.
Yeah.
Or close to it. Oh, we pumped a bunch of water out of that thing on the watermelons over there one year. You couldn't even tell we pumped a drop out of it.
Yeah.
That thing's 80 feet deep there.
Yeah. I never have seen that. I don't know just where it is.
It used to all be clear, but hyacinths got in there, and it's all solid hyacinths pretty near now.
Yeah.
Things are a darn pest, ain't they?
Oh, they are. I guess they'll find some remedy for them someday.
Well, if they spray them enough, they can kill them.
Well, they're so persistent, you know, they come back.
Yeah, Marvin Townsend's and Guthrie's, that's one of their main feeds up there, the water house.
That's thrashing.
You know, I bought some beef from him during the war, Second World War.
Mr. Guthrie?
When it was so scared. Boy, it tasted like a more water house.
Oh.
It wasn't good.
I don't know. No, you wouldn't want to eat that. Use it for dog food or something.
Yeah, best you could do then. Well, you couldn't get any unless you bought it something way like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether they'd even fatten up if you kept them and fed them.
I don't think there's any food value to them. You you can get a pile of bees up. Took those logs out there and pile them out here on the ground in about 4 or 5 weeks' time. It ain't too much more than a good handful of soil, man. It's dry up. It's got paper on the ground.
Yeah.
There comes your paper, man. Gainesville astonishing. Sitting here today.
Yeah.
About Saturday.
Where's Wednesday?
Texas.
Yeah. It's mostly the astronauts today, I guess. I come by Mr. Gilbert. I was going to sit on the porch there with him a minute, but he's in there listening to the astronauts. You know, not many people leave television in order to visit anymore.
I don't ever look at mine anymore. I don't know why, but it's lost interest in
it. I think it's a habit.
That's store talk, but it's not very good store talk. This is around Channel 1 Right 680. Channel 1 Right around 680, and that was Wednesday the 13th of August 69. Wednesday the 13th of August 69, with Nick talking to Fred, and Fred squatted in the doorway of the front doorway of the store. Now this is Channel 1 Right, and this is more store talk, except this is a visit with John Palmer at Reddick. On Wednesday the 6th of August, 69, this is Channel 1 Right around 690. Now, this long visit on the system, I think I'll skim through it and put on what enough to go by. We start in the store. Mr. Palmer says, what could he do for us? Then we go out to look at some posts or poles and talk about that dog that keeps the burglars out of his store. That's all right, informative.
Well, what? Yes, that's what I. There's much I wouldn't know how to answer that.
What'd you answer? I got some jeans.
Well, that ought to be simple. Let me tell you.
You see that belt there?
Yeah.
But you don't have no more.
Big wide one.
And I haven't got no buckles of these. When they broke in here, they stole all the buckles I have, and I haven't got any more.
Who stole?
A bunch of them boys from around Ocala broke in here.
How long has that been?
It's been quite a while ago. They had all my belts and buckles, so they like this cowboy style.
Yeah.
They always like this kind of stuff, and they like all the guns I got and all the watches.
Yeah, you can kind of tell who's been here by what they...
And they like the cigarettes, too. You can always tell them. I just like to quit handling guns. I used to have 10 or 15 sitting up there all the time.
Yeah.
And I lost 16 guns 1 year from breaking in. So, I got one little 22 rifle sitting up there now. If anybody wants a gun, I'll load it for them. But that there seems like invites them to break in when they see that gun sitting there. They want guns.
Well, I understood somebody up there say around the liquor place that they can't insure the whiskey.
I don't know about that. That's something that I know very little about, is whiskey. I never have had any dealings with it in most any way you can put it.
Well, I don't see how you'd avoid having dealings with it in your business.
Well, they come in here, but I get them to go sometimes, too.
Yeah.
They get too much, I get them to go.
I wish I knew how to do that.
Wait. You know, I've got an old fella up here. There's two of them. They did live back over here at this Hillbilly 40. That's back over there, that Favatville. And the old man's 94 years old. And he'll come in here barefoot. He's a white fella. He'll come in here barefooted and drunk. He just don't know how on his head, just a rocking. He came in here the other day, and he had a $55 check, and he bought some stuff, and he wanted somebody to carry him back over. Give anybody a dollar. Well, I didn't have no time to carry him. And I had a couple of fellas working for him, and he said, no, sir, I ain't going to carry him, so he's drinking. And he wouldn't carry him. So I just told him to get on outside and wait for somebody. And then, since he don't go, you just have to take him by the shoulder and tell him, let's go anyway.
Really?
That's the only way to get him out of here. Barefooted.
Yeah.
And he just soon stand there and urinate on the floor. Is not right there.
Yeah.
And he's got a brother just younger than him. Like he's a little more nasty than the older man is. You try to run him out, well, then he might want to get smart with you, but sometimes you just have to let him get smart. So.
But you don't have anything compared to the way it used to be?
No, no. Mm-mm. No, not like it used to be.
Well, you learned in the old school, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this here gift over here don't help me none either. I want to try to get that thing gone from there, but never could get it gone.
Oh, you mean to tell that?
Yeah, that had the cold heat wave, that nigga jerk right over there, you know. We go by there on Saturday, Sunday, maybe 100 cars out there at night.
Yeah.
And I tried to get that thing going, but I know they couldn't ever catch nothing on them to run them out.
They tried?
Yeah. Yeah, we worked on it, and the law did too. Because they go there and buy that stuff, and then they'll mumble in here to get a pack of cigarettes or some dog meat, bologna or something like that to kind of kill that liquor, you know, and stuff. They eat a lot of those greasy meat when they get to drinking.
Oh, do they?
That old hoghead cheese and bologna and that kind of stuff, they load up on that kind of stuff when they're drinking. It kind of kills the effect of it or something.
The law had rather have them out here in the country than in town or somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine so.
They're not going to work too hard to move them on.
No. It is something, though. You have to put up with that kind of stuff.
How much do you have to put up with breaking in?
Well, I've had them to break in here high twice in 1 week. Oh, I guess I had 26 or 7 break-ins in the last 5 or 6 years.
Does your insurance carry you?
Haven't got any. You can't hardly get break-in insurance out in the country like this. If you do it so much you'd have to pay, you just will take a risk of letting them break in here. I got a dog. Did I show you that dog?
No.
I haven't had a break-in since last October, a year ago.
Come here, boy.
Go ahead.
That camel goes in the store every night. When I leave here, I put him in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I put him in there every night. And the third night I had him, somebody cut the lock off the front door. But I never did miss anything. And since then, there hadn't anybody ever went in the store since I started. And I was having to break in there for 3 or 4 weeks.
How long had it?
Haven't been since last October, a year ago. He's a lot of trouble, but it's worth keeping.
It's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I bought that dog there. A lady over here at Williston had him. And her husband's overseas, and she's going overseas, and she wanted to get rid of him right quick. So this boy up here, his wife was a dog trainer up here at this Shady Lane. And so we've been talking about it. He said, you need a dog down here, people robbing you. And I said, yeah, I could do. And so he come down one day and says, I know where you can get a good one. And said they want $75 for it. Said they want to sell it cheap because they want to leave here. I said, well, you go call the lady and tell her to bring the dog on. She said, excuse me, when I get you, I'll pay her for it. So he did, and she said she wanted me to come get it. And I told her, I just can't come get it because I didn't have enough help around here. So her and another lady drove it over here and had a chain on his neck. I taken a hold of the chain and led him around the store with that a little bit. Taking him on out and tied him. And I come in feeding him, and he never has offered to bite me.
Mr. Palmer, I was associated with a dog like that one time.
That's
mean. He is quiet. Yeah, quiet dog.
I know this.
And they really saw him over there in the pasture. I can't hear you from that pasture there. He run across over in there, and the fella that owned him had, we walked over there, and he wouldn't come back. And what it was, he wanted to go over there and have a little sport.
Mm-hmm.
And he got over there, I'll tell you where it was, over there in Richardson's pasture where he had all them black cows.
Yeah.
Well, sir, as soon as them cows saw that dog, they come up there to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
They had calves. And, you know, they got up there to get to him. And he sort of lit out and hit them, just sort of trotting, easy like. And every last one of them took out after him.
Mm-hmm.
He got down to the end of the pasture, and he sort of circled and come back the same track. And all them cows...
He didn't even try to run the cows, huh?
No! He was having fun. They was running.
Oh, I bet.
They were running in. Yeah. I had cows then, and I didn't have much sense of humor. Mm. And I thought to myself, God, Bernie, I wish you'd get rid of that dog. Mm. He won't be over there exercising my cows. Mm. But since then, I've sort of been able to see the, see the humor. I've thought about going to go over there. Mm. He tried to clear across the pasture, way on over there, mm. and seemed to know what he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a young dog. Mm.
I have to, every Sunday, you see, every Sunday morning I have to come over here and tug him out. And every Sunday evening, then I have to come back and put him in. It's a lot of trouble, but it's worth it.
Did you have to do that yourself?
Yeah, I took him to him myself. Don't let nobody else fool with
him. Do you keep him on a leash in there?
I take that chain in there and I put him in there to the back door and I give him about 20 feet of chain. In time with a sack twine.
Yeah.
Just a sack twine. Just keep him there. That if anything comes in there and starts in a racket, why, he can break that because he's broke that chain on it.
Oh.
You see? That keeps him from rambling all over the store without he's excited. Now, if he gets excited, why, he can pull right loose and go.
Yeah.
And I have found him loose.
Yeah.
Somebody put in over here around Fairfield or something, and the next morning, my dog's loose, so I think they're fooling around you. But that patrolman tells me he comes around at night and walk up there, get out of his car and walk up there, and well, that dog will start raising the devil inside at night. That's what he tells me. He tells me he stops in here a lot of times, so he hears that dog in there.
That's smart dog. I didn't realize how smart they were.
Oh, you can train them things to do most anything.
I fast.
Yeah, he kills a horse. He gets away once in a while, and when he gets away, he goes. My God, you can't hardly stop him. He just goes, he'll go around in the neighborhood, he won't leave. My God, you get loose, and I get in my truck and start after him. Somebody holler your dog loose, and I get on a dog, and I maybe run him a half a mile before I'll ever get him. And then a lot of times he'll get the chain hung up in something, and then I get it. Got away the other day and went out and hit this nigga town. He was running something. I don't know whether he run a dog or a cat. But he got twisted around the orange tree in the backyard.
Yeah.
Some of them telephoned me, come get that dog. We can't get out the house. So I went down there and he wrapped around that tree.
Yeah.
Oh, son.
Yeah.
Now we talked about the posts. He knew a good bit about them. But I don't think that's worth transferring. Now we're starting on North Georgia, and I'll see what that's going to do. And now they just get a whole sack full of bread and put it in the deep freeze.
Well, I don't know. You know, in the olden days, we lived in North Georgia, and we lived about 10 or 12 miles of Dahlonega, Georgia. I imagine you know where that North Georgia College is.
Yeah.
Dahlonega, Georgia.
Yeah.
Where we used to live in 10 or 12 miles, that little place Dawson's in.
Yeah.
Well, there's no railroad back there at all.
Well, that's the end of Channel 1 Right, and I'll go to Channel 1 Over and continue this visit with John Palmer. That's Channel 1 Right, and this is Visit with John Palmer on Wednesday the 6th of August, 69. On Wednesday the 6th of August, 29, this is the end of Channel 1 Right on Fred's Reel. This is the end of Channel 1 Right on Fred's Reel, and I'll go ahead with this, continue the visit with John Palmer on Wednesday the 6th of August, 69, on the other side.